Well, I remember a few weeks ago, I was anticipating the Swartz's coming, and I don't know, I believe it's been at least the last 2 years that they have come, that we've had a baptism the same Sunday that they came. Maybe longer, I'm not sure, but I think it was at least the last 2 years, and I was thinking this year that it's a little unusual, we're not having a baptism the day that they're coming. And, well, you know, we don't schedule baptisms around here or necessarily plan ahead. If the need arises, we try at the first opportunity to baptize. Well, praise the Lord, we're having another one today. And I think they go well with the kind of singing you guys do, so I'm thankful for that and looking forward to this. I felt led this morning to share a message from John chapter 3. If you want to go there. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come to you this morning. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for how it thrills our heart to know that our sins are forgiven, that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you for that day, that glorious day, when you open that book and you put our name down. Lord, we look forward to anticipation to that final day when we will arise and leave this body of clay behind and we will meet you in the sky. The beautiful celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We thank you for the songs that we heard this morning, the songs of hope and joy, songs of Jesus Christ and salvation, the glory that is coming. And the hope that we have today that is an anchor to the soul. And Lord, we pray as we share this word this morning that you would open every heart to the glorious light of the gospel. That you'd give us the ability, Father, to understand things, Lord, that the natural mind and heart cannot comprehend. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the account here of a man by the name of Nicodemus, that came to Jesus by night. And I'm not sure, the Bible doesn't really explain to us why he came to Jesus by night. There's a lot of assumption made or thoughts been given about that. But he came to Jesus by night, and he was a man of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. And so he was a man of influence, a man of importance in their circles. And he had something on his heart. Now, it doesn't, sometimes the story is given in to suggest that he had some questions. Well, the Bible doesn't really say he had any questions. He just said, he just came to Jesus by night and he said, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. So Nicodemus was one of many in his day that were observing what Jesus was doing. And it was affecting him. It was having an effect upon his heart. As he was seeing Jesus walk around and do miracles, it seemed like it was beginning to dawn upon his heart that Jesus was not a mere man. That there was something unique. There was something supernatural. There was something of God about this man and the things that he was doing. And it caught his attention. And it was, and I'm sure he was a busy man, a ruler of the Jews, and he took the time to go at night and visit with him. And it seems like he wanted to understand and find out a little bit more about this man called Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus at night. He acknowledges that Jesus is more than a mere man. There's something supernatural about him. There's something that is of God. And that seems to be where it ends, until Jesus takes it upon himself to share something with him. Now we have to remember that Nicodemus, by all appearance, was a God-fearing man. He was a Pharisee, and Pharisees were generally God-fearing people. Many of them were, maybe not all of them, but many of them were God-fearing people. They were concerned about obeying the Lord. They were concerned about following the Scriptures. They were concerned about separating themselves from the world. And many of them went to great lengths to be separated from the sinners and society around them for the purpose of being pleasing to God. Nicodemus, I don't believe, was an exception to that. Pharisees were well versed in the Scripture. They knew the Scripture. They knew their Bibles. They understood and read much of the law. They were very meticulous in studying the law. Many of them were doctors of the law. And they were concerned about obeying God and following the Lord. They were faithful synagogue attenders. Every Sabbath day they would be there. And they would encourage others to come and be there faithfully. They were very concerned about keeping the Sabbath holy unto the Lord. But the Pharisees needed to be born again. Nicodemus needed to be born again. Even though he seemed to love God, even though he seemed to fear God, even though he went to the synagogue faithfully from the time he was probably a little boy, even though he did many good and right things, Nicodemus needed to be born again. And Jesus told him that very plainly. At the very start of this conversation, see, Nicodemus had already acknowledged that Jesus was more than a man. He had already acknowledged somewhat of the deity of Jesus Christ. But you see, it takes more than a mental assent. It takes more than saying that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. A person can say that merely out of a mental assent. We can teach somebody to say that at the right time and at the right place. A person will say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died for my sins. That is not enough. A person must be born again. Nicodemus, everything he said about the Lord Jesus was true. He said it right. He seemed to understand the truth about Jesus. He seemed to be on the right track, and yet Jesus did not seem to be impressed. Jesus turned around and he said, you must be born again. So mere mental assent, understanding the gospel in an intellectual way, acknowledging the truth of the gospel, is not enough. A person must be born again. Jesus turns around to him and Jesus says unto him, verily, verily, or in other words, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so Jesus said, not only can't you enter the kingdom of God, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. You are so far from the kingdom, you can't even see the kingdom if you are not born again. And so there is a kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven, that every person must be a part of. But Jesus said, except you are born again, you can't even see it. How will you ever enter if you can't even see the kingdom of God? And so there must be something that will happen, and we call it our spiritual eyes must begin. God must open them so that we can see a kingdom that we never could see before in order for us to enter it. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? And now remember, for many of us who grew up in churches, we heard these things all our life. Many of us did. And we understand the concept. When somebody says born again, we understand what they're saying, basically. The concept. Nicodemus, it was a new thought. How can a man, when he is old, be born the second time? A good question, Nicodemus. A good question. You know, his heart is beginning to open. And he says, how can this be? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's foolishness, right? How can that be? Nicodemus was trying to understand this, and Jesus was trying to show him that these are things that cannot be comprehended with the natural mind. These are spiritual things that happen in the heart of man. The kingdom of God does not come with outward observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water is very likely referring to the baptismal waters. Unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit. You see, there's many people that will and have gotten baptized with water, but they have never been born of the Spirit. We have two people today that we will be taking to the water. This is not the first time they have gone to the water of baptism. They have both been baptized before. But neither of them have ever been baptized in response to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Now remember when John came baptizing, what was he baptizing? What was his baptism? It was a baptism unto what? Repentance. There were some people that came to John's baptism that he refused to baptize. Why did he refuse to baptize them? They were not bringing forth what? Fruits of repentance. And so John said that this disqualifies them from being baptized. And thankfully there was a man there that stood up and said, you don't qualify to be baptized. But you know, today there's many people who are getting baptized who don't qualify to be baptized, and the preacher is not saying, you don't qualify to be baptized. And so they go ahead and baptize them, and it is an empty, meaningless ritual that has no significance before God. But thankfully, John was there, and he pointed them out, and he said, you don't qualify. You have not brought forth the fruits of repentance. So what are the qualifications for Yanko and Christina to be baptized today? Is it not that they have repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Like Peter said to the multitude when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. They were cut to the heart. They saw their need to be born again. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized. And it was fulfilled what Jesus was saying here. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So first of all, he said you can't even see it. And now he's saying, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into God's kingdom. You may say this morning, but Brother Jonathan, I have a very sincere heart. And I have decided in my heart that I want to serve the Lord. And I have prayed. And I have asked God. And I have told God that I want to do all that I need to do to enter into His kingdom. But have you been born again? Have you been born the second time? See, you can do all the right things. Did you know that I prayed many, many sinner's prayers before I was converted? Sinner's prayers do not save you. I prayed them over and over. I would read the tract, the gospel tract. I would come to the back and it would say, all you have to do is pray this prayer. And I would say, good, I'm going to pray this prayer because I want to be saved. And so I would get on my knees and I would pray the prayer just like the tract said. And I would get up and nothing changed. And I would do that again. And I would pray, I would have to pray it more sincerely. Maybe if I pray this a little more sincerely. And so I would pray this sinner's prayer word for word. And I would say amen at the end and I would wait. You might smile today, but this is real. I was in agony. I was in travail. And it didn't work. See, Nicodemus went to the synagogue Sabbath after Sabbath after Sabbath. He was diligent. He studied the Scripture. He wanted to do what is right. But Jesus said, you must be born again. You won't even be able to see the kingdom if you're not born again. You won't be able to enter the kingdom if you're not born again. I was talking to a faithful Lutheran churchgoer. And he went to church Sunday after Sunday. In fact, he would commune once a month, faithfully. He seemed like a very sincere young man. And I asked him the question, I said, do you know what it means to be born again? And he had a blank look on his face. He had no idea what I was talking about. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, always will be flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. I just want to do a little illustration for you, and I need a volunteer, a young man here, young boy. Who would volunteer to help me? Would you just come up? Would you come up? It'd be a little difficult to get a volunteer, so I'll just ask somebody. Well, you tell me. What do you think that is? Yeah. It's a caterpillar. Okay, my three-year-old daughter caught me a caterpillar last night. And now, caterpillars are supposed to turn into butterflies, right? You knew that? Yeah. But this one doesn't. Like, I've had it in the jar since yesterday. We keep watching it, and it's not turning into a butterfly. So what's wrong? Not long enough? No, but I think this caterpillar needs to fly. I mean, it's in there a long time. It looks very lonely. And you see the butterflies flying around and they look so free. And I think, don't you think there's any way that we can make this caterpillar fly? You don't think so? Well, I have a little set of wings here and I just thought we would try to help it a little bit. Because caterpillars are supposed to fly. We know that. And it's going to be a really sad, lonely life for this guy if he never flies. And I think we're going to try to help him a little bit, okay? You want to hold him there? Just hold him there. And I think caterpillars would look better if they could fly, don't you think? I mean, they could get around a lot easier. Can you imagine how long it's going to take for him to get back to where we found him if we turn him loose? But if we give him a set of wings, we're going to see if we can help him fly. Okay. All right, so he's got a set of wings here. Okay. Not sure if they're going to stick on there or not. He doesn't seem to appreciate them. Not quite sticky enough. Do you want to try? Oops, there he goes. Just don't hurt him. They just fall off. I'll try that. They're on now. What's, you don't think we can do it? No? Okay. Well, thanks for your help, anyways. Anyone else want to volunteer? So what needs to happen with this poor caterpillar? We want him to fly. They're supposed to fly. They're meant to fly. They're not meant to crawl around on a leaf the rest of their life. It's a miserable life, eating leaves. But you know, what happens is, and I just watched this, and it's amazing, and it's touching to see this happen. But what happens is this caterpillar was never meant to spend the rest of his life crawling around eating leaves. That's not what he was created for. He was created to fly. We would all agree with that. Caterpillars were created to fly. And so something has to happen with this caterpillar for it to fly. And what happens is he eats and he eats and he eats and he gets bigger and he gets bigger and he's bigger. And finally he begins to crawl up and he finds a little branch somewhere and he hangs there. And he hangs there for a long time. And as he hangs there, then he starts to curl up in the bottom. And as he starts to curl up, his skin splits open and some gooey stuff comes out and it fuzzes out and he gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And soon it covers his entire body and his entire old skin. It just sort of shrinks and gets smaller. And you feel sorry for the creature. I mean, I was watching this and I was just, it was almost like this, what he was before was just wasting away and shriveling up and dying. And you're thinking, how does a caterpillar feel? How would it feel like to be a caterpillar? I mean, you've got your bright, lovely skin, and you crawl around, and you can eat leaves, and after a while, it's almost like you have to die. You have to, everything you've known, everything you are needs to die. You know, was it Alvin that was talking about a corn of wheat falling on the ground? If it doesn't fall, it abides alone. That little kernel of wheat will stay that hard little kernel for the rest of its life. Unless it falls to the ground, it begins to rot and die, and new life begins to spring up. And that is what happens when a person becomes born again. Is in Corinthians it says, we have become a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's what it means, and that's what takes place when a person gets born again. Well, that caterpillar, he fuzzes all over, and he goes into this cocoon, and he's there for weeks. But inside this cocoon, there's something taking place. There's new life being formed. Wings are being formed and shaped. You know, I had to think as the Schwartzes were up here this morning that I love to see old people with wings. I mean, there's something so invigorating about an old man with wings. And some old ladies with wings. You need a set of wings that nobody can paste on you. Nobody can give you. You need a set of wings. What was that song about soaring like an eagle? Eagles have wings. If you want to soar with God, you must be born again. You must get a set of wings from God that nobody can paste on you. No church program, no system can give you. No amount of doing that you can do will ever grow wings. You must die so that God can give you wings so you can fly. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh, we have all been born once. You have been born in natural birth. Unless you experience another supernatural birth, you're going to die in your sins. And you will never enter God's kingdom. So sometime, somewhere, somehow, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now how many of you have ever seen the wind? Have you ever seen the wind? Have you ever heard the wind? Yes, we've all heard the wind. We've seen the effects of the wind. But we can't tell if the wind's coming from that direction. I can't run over there and find out where it comes from. If it's blowing over there, I can't run over there and see where it's going. It's like the Spirit of God. You know, someday, the Spirit of God will come to each one of you. Little children growing up, The Bible says that of such is the kingdom of heaven. You are a part of the kingdom of heaven as a little child growing up. But the day is coming when you, as a child, when you must be born again. The day is coming when the Spirit of God, we don't know where it will come from. We can't see it. It may be here this morning. The Spirit of God may be here this morning and speaking to your heart. None of us can see it. Only you can feel the effects of it. But you feel the Spirit of God pulling you, prompting you, showing you your need of a Savior. You might say, well, I'm really not that bad a person. Why are you better than Nicodemus was? Have you done all that he did? See, everything that he did, Jesus said, is not what it's going to take to get you to heaven. Even Nicodemus, which may be a model of dedicated, God-fearing, Old Testament life. And yet Nicodemus had fallen short of the glory of God, and he needed to be born again. Nicodemus had fallen short. Maybe he jumped a lot further than you did and got a lot closer than I did, and yet he still fell short of the glory of God. Nicodemus needed to be born again. You need to be born again. And see, you can't put an age on that. I remember when I was 12 years old, I was ready, ripe, to be born again. The Spirit of God was speaking very clearly and strongly to my heart. There's a famous evangelist, Brother Rice was his name, that preached years ago. He used to go around and have evangelistic meetings. He was an evangelist. He was instrumental in leading many, many people to Christ for many years. He was an old man. And he made the comment one time, he said that by the time a person is 15 years old, most of his opportunities to be saved will be over. And I don't know, I'm not here to make a strong statement of that. Praise God, I was an exception. I was 17 when I was saved. Maybe you will be an exception. But you know, the time to respond to the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit begins to prompt you and to show you that you are in need of a Savior. As you get older, there are many influences. There are many deceptions of sin that will come in that will take you the wrong direction. And you may never have that opportunity again. So the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it comes and where it's going. So is the Spirit of God. It could be here this morning. It could be speaking to you about your need to be born again. It may be your last opportunity. I don't know. There's never a promise of tomorrow. See, I cannot give you a promise of tomorrow. I can just tell you that today, while it is called today, harden not your hearts. I can tell you that today and now is a time of salvation for you. I can tell you that. Praise God. I can tell you that this morning. I cannot promise you that you will have the opportunity to be born again tomorrow. But I can tell you, you have that opportunity right now. And that is a privilege. That thrills my heart. And so I'm going to be honest with you. You may not have an opportunity tomorrow. I'm not saying you're going to die in some big car crash. That could happen. Maybe your heart will be hard and cold, and the Spirit will have withdrawn. See, the Spirit of God is a gentle dove. It comes, it woos, it draws, but it can be resisted where it will go away. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And we could say that, how can these things be? He's trying to understand this. And Jesus turns around and says, are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? It's like Jesus said of the Pharisees. He said, they're blind leaders of the blind. They're not born again themselves, and they're trying to lead God's people to Him. And you know, there's many preachers today who are not born again. They're blind leaders of the blind. I said to this young man, I said, when he had no idea what it means to be born again, I said, what is your church telling you? But the problem is they're not telling the people. Or what they're telling them is misleading and taking them the wrong way. But they're not telling the people how to be born again. Or that they need to be born again. the blind leading the blind. Are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? If we go down to verse 14, it says, he goes back into the Old Testament, he reminds them of something they were very familiar with, which was Moses in the wilderness, and this is in Numbers 21. We have the account of Moses and the children of Israel going through the wilderness, and they got to a place where they began to murmur and complain, and in unbelief. And God was so grieved with them that God sent all these serpents, these snakes, into the camps. And, you know, if you have a camp full of snakes, you're going to have this under your bed, you're going to be stepping on them, you're going to be laying on them, people are going to get bitten, and that's exactly what happened. People began to get bitten by snakes. And these were snakes with a venomous bite, a poisonous bite, and people all over the camp were dying. And they came to Moses and they cried out to Moses, and they said, Moses, what can we do? Save us. Help us. And Moses goes to God and he says, God, the people are dying all around me. And God says, go and get a brazen serpent. A serpent that looks like a snake made out of brass. And he said, hang it up on a pole. Well, Moses did this. He forms a snake and he hangs it up on the pole. And God says, anybody that looks will be saved and healed from the snake bite. And I don't know what the response was, but I would think there was probably people there that did not look. And there's probably people there. We know there's people there that did look. But maybe there's some that didn't. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. When he beheld it, to behold something. You know, the Bible says, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. When they beheld the serpent and they gazed upon it, they were healed. The pain left. Did you know that after all that sinner's prayers, things that I was doing, and on my knees, and I would get on my knees sometimes. I remember one time I said, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm not going to get up until I know that I'm saved. I remember saying that in my heart, I'm going to stay on my knees. I was up in my room. I'm going to stay on my knees until I know that I'm saved. But I fell asleep on my knees. And I wasn't saved. But you know, a few days afterwards, as I was riding along on the manure spreader, and I was thinking about these things, and it began to dawn on my heart that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, that He gave His life for my sins, and that's exactly what I did. I looked, and I believed, and I was healed. Just like that, I was healed, and I knew I was healed. Something had happened, because I believed. I believed the gospel. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, even though I couldn't have said it in those words at that time. I just knew something happened. I just knew that it's enough. It's finished. He did it. He died for me. His sacrifice, His atonement is complete. It's all that I need. He is my righteousness. And I was changed, like that little butterfly or worm. I was changed. Well, that's what the children of Israel did. This old man, you know, with his leg all swollen up from the snake bite and just about dying and is taking his last breath, and he comes out and he looks at the pole and he beholds the serpent and he gets up and his pain is gone. I'm healed! Glory, I'm healed! Hallelujah, I'm healed! Praise the Lord, I'm healed! And can you imagine all around that camp there's people jumping and saying, I'm healed from my... I was just about dead. I was taking my last breath. Come on out, come on out. Look at the serpent and be healed. I can just picture these men dragging them out. Come on, there's a serpent out here. You can be healed. Look. and more people come out and they say, yeah, where? Ah, praise God. And then you have the next person jumping and leaping and praising God. Healed. Restored. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish. Whosoever believeth on Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Everlasting life, the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. That's not why He sent His Son, is to condemn the world, but He sent His Son to save the world. That the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And he that doeth evil hateth the light and will not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. And it's just like cockroaches. If you ever go and you just pull up a blanket or you pull up an old plywood sheet and you have all these cockroaches that are just scurrying around. They have been exposed to the light. And they don't like the light. They like the darkness. They like that which is undercover. And so they're scurrying every direction to hide. That's how it is with the sinner. He loves his sin. He loves his immorality. He loves his pornography. He loves his lust. He loves all those secret sins of the heart. He loves them. And he will not come to the light, lest those things should be exposed. Because that is what the light of the gospel does. It exposes the sinful lust of the heart. When the light of heaven shines upon a man, he cannot remain in darkness. But you know, there's many people that love that darkness. They love their sin. They don't want it exposed. They want to keep those secret dark sins of their heart undercover. And as long as they remain there, they cannot be born again. They cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Those people that look at those pictures on the computer, those people that delve themselves in those lusts and sins and adulteries and fornications, those kind of people are going to hell. They will not be able to enter God's kingdom. But when the light of the gospel, when the light of heaven begins to shine upon a man and his heart begins to turn to God, all those things are brought out in the open and repented of, and he turns himself another direction. That's what repentance is. He was going this way. He was living in those lusts and those sins and loving them. And he begins to turn away from those things and he turns his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And God gives him a set of wings and he can fly. You know, that's why drunkards, that's why alcoholics, who all their life have been enslaved to drink, are able to quit the bottle and never touch it again. That's why people who have been living in fornication and adultery, all kinds of lusts of the flesh, are able to walk away from that because God gives them a set of wings and they can fly. I mean, a worm would never get away from those things. You could patch those wings on him, you could tape them on him, you could give him flying lessons and for years, but he'll never learn how to fly. But you let him die and God will turn him into a butterfly and he has... And he can fly. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And in conclusion, the last verse of chapter 3, beautiful words. He says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Do you want that? He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son, this is the bottom line of everything, right? The last verse, bottom line. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bad news and the good news. And we thank you, Lord, before we can really appreciate and understand the good news, we have to understand the bad news. That we are lost, we are doomed to a Christless eternity of damnation and separation from you in a burning hell. Lord, you've provided the way and the means. Whether we are a good little boy or a good little girl who may almost be as good as Nicodemus, or whether we are living in the vilest sins, Lord, you've come to save us. Give us a new heart. You've come to redeem us. Set us free. For this, Lord, we just want to bless you and thank you and praise you with all of our hearts. Oh God, we thank you that you're able to make us clean, to wash us and to make us clean. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.